You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
If God were to keep an accurate record of your sins on a computer, would your record be good or would it be bad?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God of love and God of grace, in no way are we worthy to come to Thee in prayer. It is only through the sacrificial death of Thy Son Jesus that we are enabled to bring our petitions before Thy throne. Deal with us with love and grace. Remind us that without Thee we are but dust. Blot out our sins, forgive our failures, and assure our disquieted hearts of Thy constant presence. Hold always Thy cross before our eyes, and make us mindful that our hearts will be restless until they rest in Thee. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. At its headquarters, the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation operates a supercomputer. This technically sophisticated memory machine stores information on wanted and missing persons. It also contains records of violations and background information on thousands of criminals. When fugitives from justice are apprehended, these records are frequently used as evidence to convict them. Most people would never consider themselves as criminals, nor as individuals whose records should be kept by the FBI. As a result, you and I may live with the notion that we are basically nice people, and that we are even good enough to earn God's approval and to eventually gain by our own efforts reception into the mansions of heaven. Yet the Bible is more honest. It tells it like it is. In Genesis chapter 8, God is speaking about you and me when He says, "The intent of man's heart is evil from his youth." The psalmist proclaims, "The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt." Even the idea of childhood innocence is discredited by bizarre newspaper stories like the one of a 30-month-old Florida boy who, while uttering bad boy, battered his 22-month-old playmate with a vice, nearly killing him. Deeply embedded in the heart of man, this tendency to evil during the past several decades, like Mount St. Helens, has erupted violently in militant rebellion against God and His holy will. The new morality ethic, encouraging everyone to do his own thing, regardless of who gets hurt, has left eager participants as battered victims, regretting their past mistakes, wishing life could be relived, and wondering if there is forgiveness for past failures and any hope for the future. Authors of magazine articles and hosts of television talk shows try desperately to make these new godless lifestyles acceptable. And yet, divorced parents subconsciously realize the part they played in the breaking of their once happy home. With saddened hearts, they regretfully wish a second try would be possible. And parents are not alone. Grown children prefer not to recall how viciously, when they were young, they treated their well-intentioned parents. Counseling clergymen and psychologists relate innumerable stories of husbands and wives, and now even many single people who live in torturous remorse that they gave in to the temptation of the flesh and participated in an affair. Added to the list of moral and family failure is an endless string of mistakes at the office, broken friendships at school, and even failures to live up to one's own personal expectations. With this situation obvious even to the most casual observer, is it any wonder that the feelings of the psalmist recorded in the Bible have become so vivid in the minds of an increasing number of people? The psalmist laments, "If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who could stand?" He was simply stating that if God kept an accurate record of our sins, our mistakes, and our failures, no one could ever face His justice and His demands for absolute perfection. But the psalmist leaves no one hanging in midair, nor grasping the slippery rope of despair. He immediately rejoices in the hope for all sinners when he, with a repentant heart, raises his thoughts to God and says, "But there is forgiveness with thee." Yes, with your knowledge of past mistakes, express your sorrow for your failures. Trust completely in the psalmist's heaven-directed words, "There is forgiveness with God." It is not God's desire to punish you for your past failures. God desires that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For your sake and in your stead, on that first Good Friday, God directed His holy wrath, His punishment for your sins, on His Son as Jesus hung on that cruel cross at Calvary. Your sins have been paid for. It is now God's holy will that His love and kindness would crush your ego, soften your stony heart, humble your haughtiness, and lead you to true and sincere repentance. God is speaking with love to you today as He speaks through the prophet Malachi, "Return to me and I will return to you." God is waiting to receive you, to encourage and to strengthen you. God will neither question nor interrogate you. He is not interested in your past. He will accept you just as you are. Trust in His changeless promises revealed in the Holy Scriptures. All who come to God, He will in no wise cast out. Several months ago, a man with a knife blade in his back went to the emergency room of a local hospital. After 3 hours of x-rays and tests, the technicians refused to remove the blade dangerously embedded near the spine. They refused to do the operation because the man had no insurance. The hospital's director of health said that the refusal to admit the patient is one of the accepted facts of life. This story may upset you, but now listen to this. When you, through prayer, approach our merciful God at His emergency door for sinners, He asks no questions about your past sins, your mistakes, and whether someone else will pay the bill. His Son, Jesus Christ, has already paid the price, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood. Now God wants to demonstrate, in a special way, His love for you as His adopted child. He wants to heal you, to strengthen you, and to enable you to fight all future temptations designed by the devil to make your life miserable and full of despair. At the cross and through His resurrection, Jesus the Christ achieved victory over the spiritual forces of wickedness and now invites you to share in this triumph. Oh, what manner of acceptance, forgiveness, and love God demonstrates toward those who willingly confess their sin, their hopelessness, and their need for help. The Holy Scriptures proclaim, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." But let's not fool ourselves. Not everyone today will admit they are sinners and that they need help. Oh, we may admit that we occasionally sin, But we fail to see what the Bible so clearly reveals, that our situation is so desperate and so hopeless that we need outside help. We cannot help ourselves. We may be totally convinced that we are not as bad as criminals, and that on Judgment Day, God will let us in some way squeak by. As the devil dangles this deceptive bait before our eyes, before it is too late, may we seriously consider the words of the Holy Scripture, which warns, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point, he has become guilty of all." May God's Spirit convict our hearts of sin. May He mirror for our consciences any satisfaction with ourselves. And may He burn into our hearts the words of His Son Jesus, our only Savior, who said, "For out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and slanders." God does not have a computer to keep track of your sins. God does not need a computer. He has a perfect memory. He sees everything that you and I do. Of God, Job confessed, "His eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings." The psalmist confessed that the Lord knows even the thoughts of man. God knows even your most secret thoughts. Simple honesty, even if one is not a Christian, should move the most stony-hearted and indifferent to shamefully realize their constant failure and daily shortcomings. For that same reason, the psalmist, in hopeless frustration, confessed, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Seeing our failure to be what God would like us to be, let us then, with repentant hearts, echo the psalmist's thoughts, "O Lord, if you kept a record of each time we sinned or made a mistake, who in the whole world could ever be accepted in your holy presence?" Thirsty people anticipate relief when they see the universal symbol of Coca-Cola. Dying soldiers gain hope as they recognize the meaning of the symbol of the cross worn by the medical teams there to rescue them. Oh, may God's Holy Spirit help repentant sinners to recognize their blood-bought pardon, their God-given strength for a new life, and their eternal hope in the sin-atoning Savior symbolized by the cruel cross of Calvary. When Jesus was brutally nailed to that dreaded death device, when the Messiah's agonizing body was raised to the heavens on the cross arms of the crucifixion tool, during these moments, God's great love for you and me was being powerfully and publicly demonstrated at a tremendous cost. It may never have occurred to you before, but if real justice would have been done on Good Friday, you and I would have been nailed to that cross. Our blood would have run down that ugly wooden post. In our smugness, it is uncomfortable to hear this, but in light of God's holiness, this is precisely what we deserve. We don't like to think that we are terrible sinners. Who does? But Jesus did not die for His sins. He died for our sins, for your sins and mine. And He did it lovingly and willingly. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so Jesus did not open His mouth. Calvary onlookers, curious crucifixion observers, and even many close friends of Jesus feared their hopes were ended as they observed the Savior crying out from the cross with a loud voice, "It is finished." When their Lord then bowed His head and gave up His spirit, they were absolutely convinced it was all over. But it was not the end. It was a glorious beginning. As soon as Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, died, the whole universe trembled. The veil of the temple in Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. In the Gospel of Matthew, a historically accurate record of what took place, we read that many of the dead came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Certainly, this must have been an eerie sight. But what about today? Living in a culture which trusts in the technology of man, but doubts the miracles of God, such an event would be absolutely shocking. Imagine for just a moment people from your local graveyard getting up and walking around in your community. But the grave's open for no ordinary man. This Jesus, who died on the cross, was divine. He was God. He canceled out your debt of sin. And now, all who believe and trust in the redeeming power of the Savior need no longer fear the consequences of their past mistakes. Realizing how upset and disturbed you may feel from time to time about your past failures in life, this message being preached today may seem too good to be true. But don't just listen to my words. Listen closely to God's Word. Let me read to you directly from the Bible when it says, God has forgiven you all your sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over your head. The Bible continues by saying, Jesus has completely taken away your sins by nailing them over His own head on the cross. Last year at a racetrack in Florida, two cars collided, causing a wheel to break loose and fly through the air towards the spectators. Seeing the deadly object headed for a young mother, an 18-year-old young man placed himself in its path. The wheel smashed into his head, and it slammed his face down into the bleachers. His heart stopped. He was revived through heart massage and resuscitation. Later, at the hospital bedside, the thankful mother said, He was willing to give his life for mine. I can't pick words out of my heart to describe what this boy has done. In the same way, you and I, when we see how we have failed God and when we understand that His Son Jesus voluntarily took our place on the cross, this knowledge, this faith knowledge, should lead us to sincere sorrow for our sins, thankfulness that God has forgiven us, and a Spirit-empowered desire to trust completely and totally in Jesus and follow Him. Last week, I mentioned a lady found near a Florida beach who had experienced a complete loss of memory. Since she could not recall even her name, newspapers and television referred to her as Jane Doe. When she confessed during an early morning television talk show of having complete loss of memory, the host reacted by saying, Jane, you are perfect. Observers understood that many people would have considered Jane's loss of memory problem a blessing in disguise. Countless thousands are so ashamed of their past, they wish that they could just forget it all and start all over. Perhaps you are not a criminal, but God's Spirit may be convicting you of the terrible sin of gossip, a sharp tongue, inconsiderateness of your family, friends, or spouse, or other seemingly insignificant sins. These sins are not trivial to God. They are not insignificant in light of God's holiness. And they have the power to condemn you and me to a place called in the Bible, hell. God's Son died a terrible death to pay for your mistakes. Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon you, that in spite of your past failures, you should be called one of His children. No, do not doubt. Don't remain indifferent. Know God's love by this, that He laid down His life for you. You have been liberated from your past mistakes and failures. From today on, speak to God in prayer. Confess your sins and failures. Live with a cleansed conscience, a new faith in God's changeless mercy, and divine power to fight future temptations. In your time of doubt, remember God's changeless promise recorded in the Bible, Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your transgressions from you. Amen.